sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. We'll experience murder at midnight, but first, on the lighter side, it's The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet with The Haunted House. The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet premiered on CBS in October of 1944. A New Jersey native, Ozzie had formed his first orchestra and had worked his way through college and law school playing proms and balls. Harriet came out of Iowa, playing her first stage role at the age of six in the arms of her actress mother. Her stage work inevitably led to Hollywood, whereas Harriet Hilliard appeared as a dancer in the 1932 film Musical Justice. Ozzie and Harriet were married in October of 1935, their first son David born in October of the next year, and moved to Hollywood where they joined the Red Skelton Show in 1941. When Skelton was drafted, Ozzie and Harriet began the second phase of their joint career in a new radio situation comedy, The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. The program moved to ABC in 1949 and continued on Friday nights until they left radio for TV in 1954. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet and The Haunted House from October of 1948. Another classic show from the golden age of radio here on Yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, oh, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton Marge, Amos, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, volio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you.
Hollywood, International Silver Company, creators of 1847 Rogers Brothers Silver Plate, presents The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, starring America's favorite young couple, Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard. Hey, there's excitement in the air. A mysterious change has taken place in the vicinity of 1847 Rogers Road. Remember the friendly old elm tree in front of the house? Well, it doesn't look friendly anymore. The full moon shining through it, and on one of the bare branches, there's a big black owl. And the old dependable weather vane on top of the garage. Gee, it looks different now. I'm not sure if it's a weather vane or not, the way the shadows fall. Could be a witch on a broomstick. Oh, it's spooky out tonight. In the Nelson kitchen, there's an atmosphere of feverish activity and excited preparations.
What are you looking for, David?
We're trying to find some paper bags, big ones.
Well, look in the bottom drawer there.
There, that's a good one, Ricky.
Yeah, but what do I do with the potatoes?
No, not that drawer, Ricky. On the other side.
Hey, what's going on out here?
We're getting some paper bags.
Sound like you were taking the kitchen apart.
It's Halloween, boy. We're going to have fun tonight, Pop.
Yeah, looks plenty spooky out to me.
What do you have there, dear?
Oh, I was just rummaging around upstairs a bit, and I thought the boys might make a costume out of these old work pants.
Gee, Pop, they're pretty dirty. Not only that, dear, they're covered with paint.
Well, what do you expect, Harriet? I wore them when I painted the breakfast nook.
I think you did a better job on the pants than you did on the breakfast nook.
How about you, Ricky? Would you like to be a painter? We could get you a white cap and stick a couple of brushes in your belt.
Golly, Pop, those pants are pretty big.
Oh, I don't know. Let's see how they look on you. Here, step into them. Put your foot in there. Yeah. Now the other foot. Now pull them up.
Oh, that's a wonderful costume. The headless painter. Anyhow, Pop, we don't need costumes. We got masks. That's enough.
Well, you suit yourself. We used to wear costumes when I was a kid.
That's just for little kids, Pop. Me and David are going trick-or-treat.
Trick or treat?
Sure. We ring a guy's doorbell and say trick or treat. If he doesn't give us cookies or something, we let him have it.
There you are, dear. That's Halloween, 1948.
Sounds more like Chicago, 1925.
It's a lot of fun, Pop. Didn't you used to do that when you were a kid?
No, David. As I recall, we used to go in more for the real spirit of Halloween. You know, the spooky, scary stuff.
What do you mean, Pop?
Oh, I mean, we'd find some old haunted house and go prowling around looking for ghosts and stuff.
You sure were brave, Pop.
Oh, not necessarily, David.
Pop, did you ever see a ghost?
Oh, I won't say I saw a ghost, but I will say I saw something.
A spook?
I don't know. It was white and shimmering, indistinct. It wavered back and forth. Sometimes it was there, sometimes it wasn't there. White and shimmering.
Did they have television sets then, Pop?
No, Ricky, this was right out in the center of the living room. I'm afraid Halloween's different nowadays. All the wonderful, spooky, hobgoblin atmosphere, that's all changed now. Can't help feeling a little sad when you see the joys of your childhood disappearing in a changing world. Halloween just isn't exciting anymore.
Are you going to cry, Pop?
No, dear. Just the memories coming back.
You sure must have had fun, Pop. Do you think there's really such a thing as a ghost? A real ghost, I mean?
Well, I don't know. In a spooky old house with the moon shining through the broken shutters, you imagine you see some pretty strange things.
I'd sure like to see a ghost. Boy, would I run.
Well, there's the old McAdams house up on the hill. That's a pretty spooky-looking place. I wouldn't be at all surprised if there were a ghost or two lurking around in there.
Do you think we could see one if we went up there, Pop?
It's very possible.
Oh, Ozzie. David, your father's just kidding.
Oh, let the boys have a little fun, Harriet. After all, it's Halloween.
Come on, grab the bags, Ricky. We gotta get going.
Hey, wait for me.
Don't you think a lot of the spirit of Halloween has been lost?
Oh, I don't know, dear. The kids seem to have a good time. That's the important thing.
Oh, they pretend to enjoy it, but where's the fun? Trick or treat? Where's the adventure? What danger is there in getting a handful of cookies from Mrs. Dunkel?
You've never eaten Mrs. Dunkel's cookies.
Have we had any callers yet?
Oh, about a dozen of them. You should have seen little Julie Thornberry. She was all dressed up in one of Catherine's old dresses, and she had a stocking on her head.
Really? Oh, I'm sorry I missed her.
And little Georgie Dunkel. He had the cutest clown suit with skeletons sewed on it.
We sure have some cute little kids in this neighborhood.
I'll get it.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me get it. I want to have some fun, too. Yes?
Trick or treat.
Claire, wait a minute. Aren't you a little big to be playing trick or treat?
Trick or treat.
How old are you?
53.
Who ever heard of a grown man playing trick-or-treat?
Well, my little boy's over on the next block. I'm just helping him out.
You don't even have a costume.
What do you think I am, a child? Come on, trick-or-treat.
A little unusual. What happens if I don't give you a treat?
Well, I sneak back later and ring your doorbell.
So what?
And when you answer it, I punch you in the nose. Come on, trick or treat.
This is really funny, but here are some cookies.
Only three?
Well, they've got to go around. There are other children, too, you know.
Okay. Oh, they're chocolates. My kid likes chocolate cookies. Thanks.
Well, that's all right. How old is your little boy?
25.
One of the kids in the neighborhood, one of the older kids.
Say, would you do me a favor if you're not too busy?
What is it?
Would you stop down at the store and get some candies or something? The rate we're going to run out of stuff.
Okay, hey, what are you doing?
Just putting a couple of cookies in your pocket, in case you get stopped for trick-or-treat. Some of the boys get pretty rough.
Oh, Harriet, please, you don't think I'm afraid of a bunch of kids?
Well, suit yourself. Last Halloween, Joe Randolph bumped into the backfield of the high school football team and came home minus his trousers.
No kidding. I understand they have a pretty good team this year.
Why don't you just take these four cookies, just in case?
You'd better give me two more. The ends might be with them.
Alecco, don't tear my pencil. The cookies were in my pocket. They're very nice cookies. Wonderful cookies.
What's this about, cookies?
Oh, it's you, Thorne. What a corny trick, hiding behind the head.
Oh, just keeping in the spirit of Halloween. You should see what I did to Duncan a little while ago. Did you scare him? What did you do?
Yeah, I sneaked up on his front porch, yeah, rang the doorbell, and ran like the dickens. He didn't know what to think. Then when he went in the house, I went around to the back and started rattling the back door. Oh, boy, was he scared.
What else did you do, Patty?
Well, I waited a few minutes, and I tapped on the window and moaned like this. Ooh. And I rattled the door again, and I moaned some more. Then I began pounding on the side of the house.
Yeah. And then what?
Then the police came. Dunkel just has no sense of humor.
Did the police do anything to you?
No, just told me to stop annoying people. They took my soap away, too.
You're just a big kid at heart, aren't you, Thorny?
Well, it's all in fun. What's Halloween nowadays? Nothing happens. My boy Will's out playing trick-or-treat.
David and Ricky, too. Somehow Halloween sort of lost the old kick.
Yeah, it sure isn't like it was when we were kids.
You know, there was an old haunted house in our town. And every Halloween, us kids used to go prowling through it. Really spooky.
Sure, that's the real spirit of Halloween.
Now, you take the old McAdams place up on Franklin Avenue. There's a perfect haunted house. There's some way to sneak in there.
You mean you go in there at night?
Oh, sure. Why not?
Oh, no reason. I just never cared for the looks of the place myself. Those grotesque chimneys, staring windows. Sort of gives me the creeps.
Barney, you're kidding.
No, I'm not, Oz. There's something frightening about it. Especially at night.
What an imagination. Well, I've got to get down to the drugstore. I promised Harriet I'd get some candy and stuff.
Okay, I'll see you later. Say, when you go by the McAdams place, don't let the ghosts get you.
Well, that's right. I go right by there, don't I?
Yes, sir. Not afraid, are you?
Barney, cut it out. If you walk down the store with me, I'll buy you soda.
McAdams place, and we saw a ghost.
A real ghost?
A ghost, a real ugly one, with sharp teeth and a long nose and pointed ears and hair all over his face.
And first we thought it was Pop.
That's the nicest thing anybody's ever said about me.
I mean, we thought it was you trying to scare us.
Oh, boys, don't be silly.
You guys probably saw the moon shining through the window, and your imagination did the rest.
Okay, go up and see for yourself.
Yeah, why don't you, Pop?
Yeah, why don't you, Pop?
Well, I'd be glad to, except I promised to take your mother to the movies.
Since when?
Well, that is, I've been thinking about it all day. There's a wonderful triple Halloween show at the Bijou. The Son of Frankenstein, Dracula's Daughter, and A Date with Judy.
I wasn't counting on the movies, dear. In fact, I'd much rather you'd go up and give us a report on the ghost.
Oh, it's so silly.
Go ahead, Pop. Have some fun.
Go ahead, dear.
Well, okay. If it makes you happy, I'll go up and visit the haunted house.
Attaboy, Pop.
Daddy. I thought for a minute there you were getting scared, Pop.
Oh, David.
Oh, just remember this, boys. There's not a cowardly bone in your father's body. Of course, every now and then the meat around them gets a little jumpy.
Meat around them. What am I laughing at?
Learn more about the golden age of radio at radioyesteryear.org. That's radioyesteryear.org. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Warning to all ghosts. Beware, Ozzie Nelson will get you if you don't watch out. Yes, indeed. Ozzie Nelson, arch enemy of all ghosts, goblins, spirits, and similar supernatural phenomena, is on the march. Target for tonight. The ghost that walks in the old McAdams house. See the courageous Ozzie as he strides firmly across the porch of 1847 Rogers Road. Chin up. Flashlight swinging at his side. Down the steps, down the walk. And now he stops. Every muscle tense, eyes alert, nose twitching. A white, filmy object moves out of the darkness.
Who's there?
It's me, Mr. Nelson.
Oh, hello, Annie Lou.
I came over to show you my Halloween costume. I'm going to a party. Where are you going, Mr. Nelson?
Oh, I'm on an errand for the boys. They went up to the old McAdams house tonight, and they think they saw a ghost.
Really, Mr. Nelson?
Yeah, I'm going up there, you know, to prove to them it was just their imagination.
You're going in that spooky old house tonight, alone?
Well, of course.
Evidently, you haven't heard the story about the McAdams place.
Well, I've heard some silly rumor it's supposed to be haunted or something.
But it is, Mr. Nelson. I heard the whole story from the people who live next door. The story goes that years ago in Scotland, in the old Haggis Castle, the young and beautiful Lady Jane McAdams had a quarrel with her lover, Douglas McDingle McCampbell McTavish. A Scotchman.
Yes, much.
Well, anyway, Lady Jane pushed her lover, Douglas McDingle McCampbell McTavish, down the stairs. Down, down, down he went, his head banging on each stone step. Thump, thump, crunch, crunch, his bagpipes mournfully playing, "The Campbells are coming." As he lay at the bottom of the staircase dying, Douglas McDingle McCampbell McTavish, or as they called him, Mac, as he lay at the bottom of the staircase, he took an oath.
I'd swear a little myself.
He took an oath that he'd follow Lady Jane wherever she went. His spirit would always haunt her.
Where did she go?
She came here to the United States and built the old McAdams place. And they say that on nights of a full moon like tonight, the giant ghost of Lord McTavish returns. And while the eerie notes of bagpipes ring in the night air, he prowls the house in search of Lady Jane.
He's... it makes a good story, but nobody in his right mind would believe it.
Well, you believe it, don't you, Mr. Nelson?
Yes, but I'm not. I'm... Carson, it's a lot of nonsense.
Okay, Mr. Nelson, but remember, if you go up there tonight and see the ghost and get a terrible fright and drop dead, don't come around saying I didn't warn you. Happy Halloween!
Harriet.
Oh, hello, dear. You back so soon?
No, I haven't gone yet. As a matter of fact, I've been thinking this over, and I don't think I'll go. The whole idea seems sort of childish.
What about the boys, dear? You promised them.
I know, but I mean, after all, isn't it silly for a full-grown man? It's only a wild goose. That's all it is.
Well, if you'd like, dear, I'll go with you.
And the boys... What did you say?
I said I'll go with you.
There are times, Harriet, when a man likes to be alone.
Oh. Well, all right, dear.
Get your coat. This isn't one of those times. Don't get nervous now, dear. Just keep cool.
Oh, I'm cool, all right. Matter of fact, I'm shivering a little.
Just hold my hand good and tight.
I can't.
Mm-hmm.
You're squeezing mine so hard the fingers are asleep.
Sorry. Is that better?
It's better. How do we get through this iron fence?
There's a gate here someplace, I think. We'll probably be bolted and spoil all our fun. They usually have a huge lock on these things and thick chains. Now, here we are. Oh.
Locked?
No.
Well, push it open.
Here, will you take the flashlight a second? Thanks. And the baseball bat, too.
Ooh. Doesn't this place look weird?
Yes, it is pretty spooky at that. Shall I sing something to keep your nerve up?
If you want to, dear.
It'll keep you from getting scared. Did you ever think, as the hearse goes by, someday you are going to die? There's a spook in the meadow.
Dear, shh. It might frighten the ghosts. Must be a haunted house. The door squeaks.
I don't know why you insisted on coming along, Harriet. I could just as easily have come by myself.
Ozzy, something has hold of my coat.
Yeah, that's me. Who closed the door?
Didn't you?
No.
Oh, it must have been the wind. Gee, this place sure looks creepy with the moon streaming through the windows. What was that?
Now, just don't be frightened. I'm right beside you.
Ozzy, there's something in this room. It's coming toward us.
It's getting closer. Harry, quick, my baseball bat.
Hey, Oz, careful with that.
Harry!
Oh. Hello, Harry and Oz.
You old trickster.
Oh,
Barney.
I just thought I'd have a little fun with all the talk that's been going around about this place.
So you're the ghost David and Ricky saw. I should have guessed by the description. You should have a bagpipe, though, Thorny.
A bagpipe?
Well, sure, haven't you heard? This place is supposed to be haunted by a Scotch ghost who plays the bagpipe. And each night he comes down the stairs playing some old... Well, you do have one, Thorny. Where is it? Oh, you sure play awful.
Worse than you think. I don't play at all.
But I hear a bagpipe. Listen, I can hear it plain as day.
Ozzy, up there, the head of the stairs.
The ghost.
The ghost of Lord McTavish. Well, we've seen it. Let's go.
Now, let's all keep calm about this. We'll just leave quiet. Oz, let's push
it. It's getting late, Thorny. Let's get out of here.
Ozzy, you're carrying my coat. Wait.
Oz, the door won't open. I keep turning my hand on it. It won't open.
Stop it, Thorny. You've got hold of my nose.
This way, boys. Thorny, the door's over here.
Follow me. I'll make one of my own.
No, thanks. I can't understand it. There must be some scientific explanation. Did I seem very scared out there?
No, not especially.
I mean, did I act in any way that might give somebody the impression that this illusion we saw frightened me?
No, you were very level-headed about it. Of course, it was the first time I've ever seen you jump a 7-foot fence.
I didn't think I could fool you. That thing, whatever it was, scared the daylights out of me.
I was plenty scared myself. I can't figure out those bagpipes.
No, and then what about the ghost?
Oh, well, yes, of course, the ghost, too.
Harriet, what are you stuffing behind the sofa pillow?
Oh, nothing, dear, just some old papers and things.
Wait a minute, let me see that.
It's only an old sheet.
You'll get the couch dirty. It's got cobwebs. Cobwebs!
How about a little more coffee?
And there's Ricky's baseball bat, the one I... Harriet, if you'd like to make a little confession, I'll listen. But if you'd rather not, I'd rather you would.
All right, dear. Just the boys and I thought it'd be nice if you could have a little fun on Halloween. You told them how much you enjoyed going to some haunted house. So we thought that if we could sort of... Ozzy, listen.
I'm listening. Go on.
No, listen. The bagpipes.
Yeah.
I hear the bagpipes again.
So do I.
Hey, Pop, can we have a dime?
Boys, listen. Do you hear bagpipes playing?
Sure, that's what we have the dime for. He's out front now.
Who's out front?
Mr. Campbell, the man with the Scotch Plaid ice cream truck.
The Scotch Plaid ice cream truck?
Well, sure, haven't you ever seen him?
Can we have a dime, Pa?
A dime? Here's 50 cents. Stuff yourselves.
Thanks, Pa.
Oh, boy.
Hey,
how about that? The bagpipes we heard at the McAdams place were from the Scotch Plaid ice cream truck.
What a coincidence.
Oh, remarkable. You see, the Scotch Plaid ice cream truck happened to stop there. See, there are no other houses around, and nobody lives there, but he happened to stop there. Played a different tune up there, too, didn't he?
I don't remember.
Harriet, believe me, it was only the Scotch Plaid ice cream truck.
Yes, I know, dear.
I'll say it just once more. The bagpipes we heard at the McAdams place were from the Scotch Plaid ice cream truck.
Okay, dear, you've convinced me.
I wish I could convince myself. I'd like to get some sleep tonight.
Ozzie and Harriet will be back in just a moment.
Learn more about the golden age of radio at radioyesteryear.org. That's radioyesteryear.org. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Oh, come on, dear. Put out the light. Let's go to sleep.
In a few minutes, Harriet, I just want to finish this article. Debunking the spook.
Debunking the spook?
Yeah, the man who wrote it spent the night in a house that was supposed to be haunted. As I sat there in the darkness, I could hear the clock in the village striking 12. Now was the witching hour. If ever the dead lived, now was the time they must rise from the grave. I stood up and dared the ghost to appear. I said, if you were a ghost, I dare you to strike me dead. Silly article.
What happened next?
Well, and let's see, he goes on to...
Yes?
The article ends right there.
Oh, come on, dear. I'm tired. I want to go to sleep.
You know what might be fun? Let's sleep with the lights on tonight.
Tune in next week to another adventure of Ozzie and Harriet, starring Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard. Appearing in support of Ozzie and Harriet were John Brown, Janet Waldo, Henry Blair, Tommy Bernard, and Jack Kirkwood. Original music was composed and conducted by Billy May. This program originates in the Hollywood studios of the National Broadcasting Company and is also broadcast over the Trans-Canada network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. This adventure of Ozzie and Harriet will be transmitted to our men and women overseas by shortwave and through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service.
The camels are coming. No, Lord McTavish.
Ozzie.
It's a ghost.
Ozzie, wake up. What's all the racket, Mom? Daddy's having a nightmare.
Is that what he's doing? That noise really scared us.
Well, it frightened me, too.
Okay, now we're even.
From October of 1948, it's been The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet with The Haunted House. In a moment, we'll experience murder at midnight, and murder is a lonely business, as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
Learn more about the golden age of radio at radioyesteryear.org. That's radioyesteryear.org. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Murder at Midnight was a series produced by KFI Los Angeles and syndicated in 1946. It included tales of the supernatural and macabre by radio's top writers and performers. The stories were wild tales of death and the uncanny. The program tried to do what Inner Sanctum did so memorably on the networks. Charles Paul contributed the creepy organ music, the director was Anton M. Leder, and that sinister voice narrator whose voice dripped Murder at Midnight was none other than Raymond Morgan, a former Long Island minister who had given up the cloth for the excitement of radio. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with Murder at Midnight and the case of Murder is a Lonely Business from 1946, another classic program from the radio vault of yesteryear.
Murder at Midnight.
Let go of my arms. I'll give you money. All the money you want.
No, Fred, no!
You monsters! I'll make you pay for this.
Midnight, the witching hour when the night is darkest, our fears the strongest, and our strength at its lowest ebb. Midnight, when the graves gape open and death strikes. How? You'll learn the answer in just a minute in Murder's a Lonely Business. And now, Murder at Midnight. Unusual stories of terror and mystery by radio's masters of the macabre. This tale, a study of murder in duet, is by William Morwood. Its title, Murder's a Lonely Business. At a cemetery, a burial is taking place.
For as much as it hath pleased Almighty God in his great mercy to take unto himself the soul of our brother,
the two chief mourners, Fred and Grace Tilson, stand beside the open grave.
Earth,
and as he looks at his wife,
ashes,
bitter thoughts course through Fred's mind.
Sure and certain.
Look at her. Look at her standing there, dabbing her eyes with a handkerchief. Tears. Real tears after what she did, after what she made me do. She doesn't know what sincerity is, or love or pity either. She's hard, hard all the way through. And I never knew, never even suspected till, we killed him. Now, that's the way she acted. I'll never forget it. Never. A nightmare always. How can I go on living with her? How can I ever trust her again? What am I to do? Oh, Lord, I'd give anything for a drink.
I think I ever married that sniveling creature. I believe he's really crying, really sorry. As if he cared a hoop about his Uncle Edward outside of the money he could get out of him. He was ready enough to help put the old man out of the way the other night. Now his nerve's gone. All he can think about is a drink. That's the only time I feel safe with him. He's drunk, and not always then. The way he's been carrying on lately, Lord knows what he'll say or do next. I'll have to watch him every minute of the time. He's a fool, an idiot.
Through thy mercy, O our Lord, who livest and reignest with the Father and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Amen. Goodbye, Uncle Edward. They're throwing dirt on your coffin now. But you won't mind. You're cold and silent now. Very different from the way you were 3 nights ago.
3 nights ago. Was that all it was? Another lifetime, but... Yes, that's right. Driving up to his house in the dark. Letting ourselves in.
Uncle Edward.
He must be up in his study.
I guess so. Servant's night out. Uncle Edward?
The door above opened, and Uncle Edward started down the marble staircase. In my mind's eye, instead of Uncle Edward, I could see my friends, a whole crowd filling the room, and myself in a gorgeous gown descending to greet them. A much more fitting picture than the stodgy form of Uncle Edward's. he came down toward us.
Well, this is a surprise.
I thought we'd drop in, Uncle Edward. It's been a long time.
6 weeks, to be exact, Fred. How are you, Grace?
Wonderful, thanks, Uncle Edward.
I'm glad to hear it. You look a little off your feed. Come on into the library. You'll be more comfortable here. Oh, a drink, Fred?
Why,
Don't be polite. From what I hear, you're rarely seen without one these days.
You sound as if you'd had spies watching us, Uncle Edward.
It's entirely possible. What? I've certainly been interested in your activities. For instance, I hear you can be found at a gambling house almost every evening, Grace.
Oh, only the fashionable ones, where everybody goes. You've got to keep in the swim nowadays.
If you can afford it. You can't. Not on Fred's salary.
That's the trouble.
Well, frankly, Uncle Edward, that's why we've come here tonight. We're in a jam again.
Money?
What else?
And you want me to bail you out, huh? Well, I'll be equally frank with you. This time, I'm not going to do it. Well,
just
but
this
Uncle, time.
I'm sorry I've helped you out of messes often enough in the past. Each time, I hoped you'd pull yourself together, settle down, and lead solid, respectable lives. But each time, you disappointed me. Now, I've given up hoping.
Uncle Edward, I promise
you... Too late, Fred. I can't believe your promises anymore. I've given you and Grace every chance. Now I am washing my hands of you. You can't expect help from me ever again. Now or in the future.
Exactly. What does that mean?
My lawyer's coming here tomorrow. I'm going to cut Fred out of my will. Cut him out entirely.
Uncle Edward.
Every cent I have is to be left to charity.
Why, you're not serious. You can't be. It's not fair. I'm your only nephew and
There's no use talking, Fred. My mind is made up. Now, would you care to discuss the weather?
No.
I thought you wouldn't, Grace.
Come along, Fred. Uncle Edward, I advise you to change your mind about this.
I beg your pardon?
Because if you don't, you may live to be sorry.
We went outside. Grace was in a white rage, and I was all jumping myself. We walked around the garden paths, trying to get hold of ourselves before we started back to town.
You know what this means, don't you, Fred? The end of everything. We'll never be able to get credit once it's known that Uncle Edward's cut us off.
Yes, I know.
Somehow, some way, we've got to stop him from changing his will.
But how? You know there's no use arguing with him. He's as stubborn as a mule. Besides, there's no time left. He's going to do it tomorrow.
I know. Unless, of course, something happens to him before that.
Such as?
He could die.
What?
Suddenly.
Some chance he's as healthy. Grace, what are you thinking of?
You know.
You're mad.
If you want to spend the rest of your life struggling with debts, not able to do anything, I don't.
But
everything's perfect for it. The old man's alone in the house. No one knows we call this evening. No one
Stop
will.
Stop it. I won't listen
oh,
to
be
you.
Be a man for once in your life. Everything you want. Money, luxury. For 5 minutes' work.
Yes, but how?
The gun. The gun he keeps in the desk in his study. You've seen it.
Yes.
We'll take the money, valuables, to make it look like a robbery. Well, what are you afraid of? The sight of a little blood?
Grace, I don't know you when you talk like this.
I know what I'm after for both of us. It's our only chance of a future. Together. Are you coming?
Yes.
All right. And let's go in. The servants will be coming back. We haven't any time to waste.
We went back into the house, climbed the long staircase to Uncle Edward's study. My mouth was dry, my knees were shaking. We reached the landing.
Knock on the door.
Grace, suppose...
It's too late to suppose anything. Knock.
Yes? Come in. I was expecting you back.
You were?
Certainly. I didn't think you let the money go that easily. Not after Grace's threat.
What do you mean?
You should have been a man, Grace. You've a completely ruthless streak in you. You'll stop at nothing to get what you're after. No wonder you've led poor Fred around by the nose so long.
Now, look here, Uncle Edward.
Sorry to hurt your feelings, Fred, but you must admit it's true. Now, if you two will explain why you came back.
We hope to make you change your mind.
You should know me better than that. I've said my last word.
Not your last, Uncle Edward. Not yet.
What Grace means
you
is...
You don't have to explain, Fred. Her interest in my desk explains itself. The right-hand drawer, Grace. Were you by any chance looking for this?
The gun.
Yes, I took the precaution of removing it. As I said, I was expecting you back.
I don't know what you're talking about, Uncle Edward. I was only looking for your checkbook. I thought the least that you could do was to help us out of our present difficulty.
It's a good story, Grace, but not quite good enough. Now, as it's almost 12, perhaps you'd both be good enough to leave my house permanently.
Well, you win, Uncle Edward. I suppose we were foolish to think that we could find a soft spot in that stone heart of yours.
You were foolish, all right. This way.
This reminds me of the old days when Fred and I were first married, when we used to come and visit you. You used to see us to the head of the stairs when it came time to go. Just like this.
That was a long time ago.
I wish those days could come back.
Impossible. Well, good night, Fred, and goodbye.
Aren't you going to shake hands with your only nephew?
Well, since it's for the last time, goodbye, Fred.
Hold him, Freddy's arm, Fred.
What? Let go of me, Grace.
Hold him, Fred, together. What?
No, stop. I'll give you money, all the money you want.
No, Fred, no.
You monsters. I'll make you pay for this.
Grace, what did we do? What did you make?
Get down there, quick.
There's no pulse. His heart. He's dead. Grace, when they find him.
An accident. The old man tripped on the stairs and broke his back. The money's ours, Fred. Everything we wanted.
What's that? Grace, you heard?
Foot of the stairs, and the white-faced couple staring at each other. Did they hear a voice from beyond? Is it possible for the dead to make the living pay for
murder at midnight?
Now, here is Grace Tilton to continue our story.
It went according to plan. The inquest raised no ugly questions or suspicions. And then after Uncle Edward's funeral, we settled down in the great old mansion. I could have been happy, so happy, except for Fred. He'd taken to drinking again. Haven't you had enough, Fred?
Another little drink won't do me.
Excuse me.
You're such an idiot. The way you've been acting ever since...
We did in poor Uncle Edward. Don't be afraid to say it, Grace. We're alone now.
Why did you give up your job so suddenly?
I'm a rich man now. No need to work.
But it looks so suspicious. And the way you've let yourself slip. That dirty shirt. You haven't shaved in 2 days.
Don't tell me you're ashamed of it.
I can't ask anyone to the house. And I had such plans for us. Entertaining, parties, making a name for ourselves.
Sorry, that's not my idea of a career.
In heaven's name, what is?
Drinks. More drinks. Then another one.
I won't let you turn into a drunken bum. I won't be disgraced like that.
I'll do exactly what I like, and you won't stop me. Don't forget, my love. We share a little secret together.
I'm not forgetting.
No matter what happens, you're tied to me for the rest of your life.
I wouldn't be too sure of that, Fred. If I get a chance at what I want, you won't stand in my way. Nothing will.
What did she mean by that? I thought about it, brooded over it, couldn't forget it. Then one evening as we sat together in a nightclub, things became clearer.
Did you hear me, Fred?
What?
I said I wanted a cigarette.
Oh, certainly, madam. Here you are. Match.
If you can hold it steady enough.
Why do you have to get soused every time we go out?
A tribute to your intoxicating charm.
Oh, don't be so... Oh, well, there's Ronnie.
Good old Ronnie. Dowager's delight.
Now, if you'll only look over this way.
With that dress you're wearing? You will.
Ronnie! Oh, Ronnie!
The change that came over her. Smile. Sparkling eyes as he came over to our table.
Well, hello there. This is a pleasant surprise, bumping into you again, Tilson.
Getting to be a regular routine. The theater, the races, everywhere I go with Grace.
Yes, we seem to share a lot in common, Fred.
Sit down, Ronnie. What do you have to drink?
Oh, nothing, thanks. I've had my quota for the evening.
Well, I'm glad someone knows when to stop.
Maybe Ronnie's got other vices.
I have, Fred. One of them's dancing. Do you mind if I take Grace out on the floor for a turn?
Why ask me? I'm sure Grace will agree to anything you say.
Fred, now what kind of a nasty...
Oh, come on, Grace. Fred didn't mean anything. Well, see you later, old boy.
They danced well together. As I watched them, I remembered the things I'd heard about Ronnie. Of his rich wife who died so conveniently. The fortune he'd run through. I saw Grace look into his eyes. Their lips moved. The suspicion grew on me till it became a certainty. They were plotting my death. The veins stood out in my forehead. My hands grew cold. But I knew exactly what I had to do. I had to strike first. I had to kill them before they killed me. If only I knew what they were plotting. If only I could hear they were whispering to each other.
Grace, darling, you're so silent.
It's Fred. How dare he act that way?
Well, he's a very unpleasant person.
Of course, he's under the weather, but that's no excuse.
Just means he doesn't give a rap for you. Never has.
Well, don't let's talk about him.
Right. Music's lovely.
Yes.
So are you.
Ronnie.
You dance like an angel. I could hold you in my arms forever. Oh, we're just made for each other. You know that, Grace, don't you?
I'd rather not think about it.
But you must. Have you considered what we talked about the other day?
It's impossible.
Why? I love you more than anything in the world. We have the same tastes and ambitions. We could be a wonderful success together.
But...
You love me too, don't you?
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, then what's stopping us? What's so precious about the life of a drunken bum?
Fred's my husband.
Husband? Do you love him? Even respect him?
No. I did feel sorry for him, but not anymore. Not after tonight. I hate him.
That's more like it. Well, then there's nothing to interfere.
Except...
The danger? Leave that in my hands. You have just one job to do, Grace.
And that?
Get Fred up to my place in the mountains for a vacation. I guarantee he'll never come back.
I don't know if I should have been suspicious. Fred agreed to go up to Ronnie's place with surprising ease. It was almost as if he'd been expecting the invitation. The night we planned to do it, we sat in the living room, just the three of us. Ronnie was playing the piano.
I'm afraid I'm awfully rusty. I haven't practiced in weeks.
It sounds grand to me, Ronnie.
Why don't you join him, Grace? I know you're just dying to play with Ronnie. Duet, I mean.
Well, that's all we have time for anyway. I promised the Pearsons we wouldn't be late.
Oh, that beach picnic. Tell you the truth, I don't feel much like it.
But you promised to go, Fred.
Do you a world of good, old boy. Wonderful night for a swim.
You both seem very anxious to get me down to that lake.
Why? Well, not at all. If you want Grace and me to go alone.
All right, I'll come. But I've got to go upstairs for my bathing suit. Wait for me here.
Well, hurry it up, old boy. All set, Grace? You know exactly what to do?
I think so.
You make a great fuss about Fred drinking. That'll be remembered afterwards. I'll take care of him at the raft. Push his head underwater
and... He'll call out.
Not in the condition he's in. He's as weak as a baby. Be all over in a few minutes. I'll swim back.
Ronnie!
And... Yes?
Isn't there some other way? We love each other so much. Can't we just...
Run off together? Let's be realistic, darling. We need the money. His money. Love in a cottage isn't our style.
I suppose not. Where is he?
What's keeping him so long?
I'm just as glad. Come on, Grace. I want to make sure there's an extra bottle of whiskey for him in the car. This way, darling. Through here, into the garage.
Give me your hand, Ronnie.
Now, darling, everything's going to be all right.
Just being with you. Ronnie.
Yes?
I saw something moving.
Where?
Over there. Behind the car.
Fred!
Hello. Thought I'd hurry things up by coming straight out to the garage.
Well, you gave us quite a start.
Why, Grace? Something on your conscience?
Well, the Pearsons will be on our necks if we don't get started soon. Now, in you go. We're off to the races.
But just try to pick the winner.
We drove out to the road, the winding road that led down to the valley. I knew just the spot where I had to leave them. From there on, their only companion would be the man with a sickle. Slow down, Ronnie.
Huh?
I'm not going to picnic after all. My head's splitting.
But it's too late to drive you back, Fred.
You won't have to. I'll walk. Just let me on.
Very well.
But, Ronnie...
It's all right, Grace. We don't want Fred to have a miserable time at the picnic when we can settle things so much better this way.
Oh, thanks. I hate to run out on you, but I've got my health to think of.
Oh, sure. Oh, incidentally, there's a shortcut back to the house through the fence there.
I don't see it.
Go on ahead. I'll turn the headlights on it.
Oh, thanks. Well, so long. Have a good trip. Where are you going?
We wanted, isn't it?
But not here, not out here on the road.
It'll look like a hit-and-run accident. We'll double back at the bottom of the hill and pretend we came from another direction.
Oh, we won't get away with it, Ronnie. It's no use. They'll catch us this time.
Snap out of it, Grace. Sorry, but you've got to get hold of yourself.
Yes, I must. I can't go all to pieces. My hands are trembling. Where are you going?
I'll take the wheel. You're going to drive.
No, I can't.
I'll move over. Go on.
No.
Now drive. Your life depends on it. Both our lives.
I started down the steep zigzag road, and slowly, my nerves relaxed. As the car swooped around the curves, I felt a strange acceleration.
Easy on these curves, Grace. It's a sheer drop if we go over the cliff.
Oh, are you scared now, Ronnie?
Well, I want to keep my neck in one piece.
You needn't worry. I'm a good driver. Fred always said...
What's the matter?
Nothing.
Keep your mind on the road. There's a hairpin bend ahead of here that... Hey, look out.
Okay, I see it. I pushed on the brake. The pedal went all the way to the floor, but nothing caught. Nothing.
No, Grace. Now, do you know what I was doing there in the garage? I disconnected the brakes.
He did it! Fred!
The fence, Grace. The fence.
He disconnected them.
Yes, Grace. I meant to kill you and Ronnie before you killed me.
Grace, slow down.
Oh, Ronnie, for heaven's sake, don't stop.
I can't. Slow down.
Grace, coming after you. It's too late now. A long, long drop to the rocks.
Ronnie!
See you soon, Grace. How it works out, Fred. And you, Grace, you made one little mistake the night you killed me. You thought that company in crime made it easier. But it doesn't. Murder is a lonely business. A very lonely business.
One body lying crumpled in the middle of the road. And two more in the shattered wreckage of the car at the foot of the cliff. Three people, lonely no longer, as the clock strikes 12 for
murder at midnight.
Remember to be with us again when death plays host and the clocks strike 12 for
murder at midnight.
part of Grace was played by Helen Shields. Wendell Holmes was her husband. Carl Emery, her lover. With music by Charles Paul, Murder at Midnight was directed by Anton M. Leder.
From 1946, it's been Murder at Midnight with Murder is a Lonely Business. Well, that's all the time we have on this edition of Yesteryear, but join us again next week and invite a friend to listen. Together, enjoy more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
Copyright the Swing and Big Band Preservation Society, Incorporated. All rights reserved. Listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio, KSSR-DB San Francisco, where the big bands swing.